This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. With something mean, supposed to be lead. But I told that beats are awesome and that down it be amazing. But enough about me, guess we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would've been killed a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Any mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Ready M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold,
trophy whore.
Lego.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Whores. This is episode 227. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, Donnie.
What up, dope people? I'm back again, fully charged. Well, 93% and going.
Also with me is my my fantasy football bitch. I yield to no
one. Oh, gee, you win one game.
Hey, it's the one game you were talking mad shit about.
Well, of course, I'm supposed to do that.
And let's tell our listeners that we have a pick'em in the 4 weeks. You have yet to pick me to win any game, not even including your game.
Well,
You have no confidence in me whatsoever, even though I have a better record than you right now.
Yeah. Both of your wins have been lucky wins. Your team has overproduced.
Okay, if you say so.
I do say so. Alex, has his team not overproduced in his two wins?
What is that?
And that tends to happen. Like, you're going to have weeks where your team's going to overproduce. Last week, Homer gets duffed, had 200 points against me. So your team will overproduce. A week before that, my team got 170 points. So I'm not talking any trash about you, Turkey. I'm just saying that your teams will often overproduce. This week, you were down quite a bit.
Oh, I am still quite down quite a bit, but I'm still projected to win, so.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because all his players have played already, and I still got people. I got two people to play, one person to play tonight, and one person to play tomorrow, and the rest of my team has either already played or are playing currently.
How much are you down by?
Last time I checked, it was 80 points.
Yeah, you're not going to win. You have no chance.
Right now, I'm projected to win.
You have two players left.
After the 4 o'clock games, yes.
Who do you have playing right now? Because the 4 o'clock games are almost over.
I would have to look it up on my phone, which I don't have access to right now.
Yeah, no, there's no way you're gonna win. Like, I don't care what Yahoo says.
Well, listen, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna win either. But I'm just saying, by Yahoo standards, I'm.
I think we have a guest. Is that somebody knocking at the door?
yes. Also with us, she is the owner and founder of the Electric Sisterhood. It's Rochelle.
Hello, hello.
Now, Rochelle, for anybody who doesn't know who you are, which is I would think is, you know, a crime against nature, why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
Sure thing. So I, along with my sister, founded Electric Sisterhood almost 10 years ago. We started out just talking about video games and anime as a blog and podcast, and since then have expanded into an entire network. So within the ESH family, you have our show and flagship, the Eshcast, which is in iTunes and pretty much everything on the planet. We go weekly. We've got episode 455 getting ready to drop next week. We have a indie-focused show over at b3crew.com, which focuses on K-pop, drama, music, indie artists, games, you name it. It's covered over there. We've got a show that's all about EDM, trance, and house music, and even trap. We've got a show that's about any and everything on the map that's nerdy, a recap show, and we are also partnered with the Structure Network. So if it's nerdy, we cover it one way or another.
You know, I gotta say, you're kind of speaking to at least a partially the wrong audience, because if it's not a $60 video game that Tricky overpays for, he doesn't want to hear about it.
Here we go. No, I was gonna say maybe she. I thought she was speaking to Donnie's heart when she said anime.
She is talking to me. I'm anime all the way. Hey, hey.
I've never gotten into anime. I don't know. Anime has never appealed to me.
You suck. That's why.
You just gotta find the right thing. You gotta find the right niche. You find the right thing, and you're like, oh, damn, that was good. and then you find six more, and then that's it. You're an addict.
I'm assuming it all starts with Dragon Ball Z, right?
Yes.
It depends.
Duh.
Dragon Ball Z, Cowboy Bebop, good stuff.
Bebop, Tenchi, you know, a lot of people coming in a lot of different places. I came in with Akira with my mom. So after that, I was hooked, and I was like, I need more of that in my life. Where do I find it?
Ah, you know what? You are the chick.
All right, just maybe this is an ignorant question, but you guys ever seen the movie Heavy Metal? It was a cartoon. Yep. Is that an anime?
Technically, yes.
Yes.
Then that's the only anime I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's a good one, though.
I didn't even see Heavy Metal 2000. I just saw Heavy Metal, the first one.
Heavy Metal is better.
I didn't really care for it too much because of my ethnic group wouldn't allow me to. But
we mean your ethnic group. Because you're black, you can't like Heavy Metal?
Wait, I'm black and I like Heavy Metal.
You're cheating.
Wait a second. I wanted to see how far Donnie would stick his foot in his mouth before you released that information, bro.
We do have some that tends to veer off.
Oh, you have no idea how much I veer off.
Alright, let's do as we do every week and give you our updated trophy count. I am level 28, total trophies of 6,491 with a plaque count of 47. Donnie, what about you, buddy?
I am level count 27. TC count is 5662. I already did the negative 7 in my own head, so I think that's the right number.
You know what, Donnie?
Yes.
I got you this week. Because I added 7 trophies to your account on the agenda, so you wouldn't be minus 7. You would actually say your actual trophy count.
Then you know what? You're right, because I am looking at it right now. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it on the station right now, and I is. Well, my trophy count is 5662 negative 7. Plaque count 76.
Yield.
All I know is I'm happy that Carson Palmer just threw a TD pass because now I'm definitely beating my guy. I am at, let me click over to the other window, level 20, trophy count of 3429, and a platinum count of 42. I'm going back to fantasy football.
And Alex.
Level 24, 4,792 trophies, and I have 60 platinums in 59 games.
All right.
Wait, did you get a new one?
She's confused right now.
No, that's number 60, or the 59th game was God of War Ascension. Up next is Bioshock, and I'm making my way very, very well through Bioshock.
Ro has no idea why we're minusing trophies and saying we got this many platinums and this many games.
Well, clearly you did not prepare her fully for this show, and
do you not understand how trophies work, Miss?
Well, here's the thing. Bringing Ro on this show, I didn't tell her a lot of information because there's no way properly to prepare her for Donnie. So I kind of, I had to throw her in the deep end.
You can only hope to.
I had to throw her. I had to just throw her in the deep end. Ro, what is your trophy count, dear?
So my trophy count is 6. My TC count is 304. And I have 0 plat.
What the heck? You lucky you a chick, or else you would not be on the show.
Nah. It's because primarily I game on my Xbox. I'm actually an Xbox MVP.
You and Tricky have something in common.
I don't own an Xbox.
Tricky doesn't play on his PlayStation very much either.
I told you we veer off some of us. Man, that hurt a lot. Xbox the best.
I play everything, but I've been an Xbox MVP for the last 2 years.
I gotta see a picture of you because that does not count anymore. I gotta see how you let to go along with that Xbox.
All right, let's get into what we're playing. Ro, let's start with you. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. What have you been playing?
So recently I've been playing Destiny, like a lot. I just finished up the Order 1886. Finally.
What'd you think of that?
What?
What did you think of the Order?
What I think of the Order?
Yeah.
I actually thought it was good. I thought that the story was very interesting. What? The visuals were great. It took me a little while to get used to some of the gun mechanics, just switching over from some of the other FPSs that I've been playing, but I actually really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot of people really gave it a lot of shit because it was a short game, but I didn't mind that. It actually let me get through it fast.
That's not why we gave it that. A lot of crap. That's not why. We gave a lot of crap.
I didn't say you. I said a lot of people. Don't take everything personal, Donnie.
A lot of people is wrong.
Donnie takes everything personal.
A lot of people is wrong. You're right. The game is not terrible. It's not. It has visuals. That's it. The story, I got the story, what it was, within the second cutscene. So the story told on itself very, very early. And the only thing that was good was the gunplay. That was it. And I'm a story person, so I was highly upset that I got the story in the second cutscene.
I don't think that that's a bad thing, though. What? I think that sets you up. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it sets you up right off the bat to know, do you want to continue with this or not? So if it's laid out in front of you and you're like, yeah, this is good, let's see how we got here, then that's fine.
Nah, if I want to continue, I want to continue that I can't figure out what's going on. I want to know, I want to find out what's going on. I don't want to be told what's going on.
But I think that you got to have that balance in a game. You know, there are some things that are like, look, here's the story and here's what you have to figure out how you got here. And then you progress through the rest of the game to figure that out. And then there are other stories that don't lead you like the nose by that. And it's not until the very, very end that you get that reveal. I think that those appeal to two different audiences. It's not a one cut fits all. So I didn't take any points.
Right, that game had no scale because it was just all leaning on one side.
All right, what else have you been playing, Ro?
I also have been playing Journey because you have to play Journey. You just have to. You have to.
You have to. Those games.
When I get it free for Plus, I'll play it.
You know, I play everything, you know, at least once. And I just finished Until Dawn. That one took me a little bit longer than I planned because it scared me.
Yeah, I got to go back and play Until Dawn myself.
Until Dawn is not scary.
I don't like jump cuts, and it's nothing but jump cuts.
That's
so,
every single horror in every genre, whether it be movies or video games.
Which is why I don't watch horror movies.
Those are the best.
To each his own, Donnie. It's just not my bag.
All right, anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. Disney Infinity is up next.
Yeah, I'm playing Disney Infinity myself. I might as well go to me. Yeah, I've been playing Disney Infinity just a little bit, playing a little bit today with my daughter because she loves Inside Out, and I bought the Inside Out playset. So between me and the goddess, we've been playing Inside Out with my daughter today.
Great.
But
she loves that. Great.
I have crossed over. I actually stopped playing the Metal Gear Solid for a few. I have crossed over close to 400 hours in Metal Gear Solid already.
I tip my hat.
And Donnie, I will say that I have finished it. I have gotten the official ending, and I cannot wait until you finish the game so I can talk to you about it.
Well, then that's going to be like another 3 months probably, because I am not doing main stories. I just been running around the freaking Africa trying to visit all my ancestors, my peoples.
Jesus Christ. Well, I will tell you that you do get a good chunk of the story by doing the side missions. One of the things I just did was I just finished all the side ops, so I just finished all of those. And the good thing about this, and this is not a spoiler for anybody, but the good thing about this game is the game is not all about just doing the story missions. The tapes that you get, you know, the reports and stuff like that, they add so much more to the story. And I think to anybody who's playing Metal Gear that was on the fence about whether it was a good game, bad game, whatnot, listen to the in-depth of the cassette tapes, and I guarantee you, you will be hooked just from the story alone. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's getting me to go 400 hours into this game. It's just because, you know, I'll sit here and I'll have my PlayStation on and I'll start the cassette tapes and I'll be doing something, you know, for Proving Gamer or the Structured Network or writing the agenda or doing something on my computer, and I'll listen to it. And I'll throw my headset on, my Pulse headset on, and I'll just listen to the tapes. And it adds so much more to it that I like. That's what's got me hooked.
Well, anybody who's a Metal Gear fan, every little thing that comes in a Metal Gear game is detailed for that game. Like, if you want to know more about anything, the game has it right there for you. Even if you just calling and talking to people on your comm thing, they would tell you what right. the scoop is. So if you're a Metal Gear fan, it's like 100 that you gotta listen to every little thing.
Well, here's also the thing, and I know me and you go back and forth about this a lot, Donnie, is that, you know, for some people, not a lot of people, but for some people, PlayStation 4 is their first PlayStation console where they have not been playing the other Metal Gears, because no, like, I know the Legacy Collection came out for the box, and I think it came out for Wii 2 or Wii U also, so I'm not sure on that, but they, you know, a lot of people didn't go back and they played the games and get in depth with those. The like me and you, we're big Metal Gear people, so we played every single game to mm-hmm. the core. Like we've explored everything, we've done everything, we've spent time in the game to get all those little niche things. So when something happens in the Phantom Pain, I'm like, oh shit, that's, you know, I remember that, and that, like, that ties in so well. That's why I like Hideo in his storytelling, and that's gonna be part of the conversation we have in our topic of the week. So I'm not gonna really go into that right now. I've been playing Metal Gear, like I said, across over 400 hours, a little Clash of Clans, and a little Disney Infinity today. I did play a little bit of Mad Max, and sadly that game's not holding me as well as I thought it would. But I think that's more because when I'm playing Mad Max, I'm wanting to go back to Metal Gear. So
you thought it was gonna hold you?
it's not a bad game from what I've played. It's one of those things that, like, I'd much rather be doing this type of mission in Metal Gear. Hmm. So
I'll eventually get my hands on it just to see.
What have you gotten your hands on? What have you been playing, Don?
Other than going back getting, you know, bonus stuff or extra content for my little experiment for Last of Us, nothing but Metal Gear. I think I in the middle. I'm in the process of actually doing mission 12. I think main mission 12. So that's how far I am. But I logged in quite a number of hours doing a whole bunch of other stuff. One thing I forgot to mention in previous weeks that we talking about Metal Gear is that even though the AI is still dumb, but they did heighten the realism of the AI in this game. Like, you don't have the mini map anymore. You can make it a mini map, but you can't move how you want to move in the mini map mode. So you don't see that field of view that the AI used to have, but you have daytime and nighttime, because that's what happens in the real world. And what happens is that they can actually see you. Like, they might not know that it's you, or they might think it's an animal, but they can see you in the daylight as if I was to go outside and see somebody's walking across the street, way down the street. As if, you know, I like their realism there with their eyesight now, so that's cool. Little small detail, but I like it. Also, that when they go check up on things, if they think they see something, they really check it out now, so that's cool too. Like, I got my pooch with me, and
D-Dog.
Yeah, D-Dog. I got D-Dog with me, and if I happen to get spotted, and they think they might have seen something, they walk up and check it, but then they end up seeing D-Dog, and they're like, oh, it's just another animal, which D-Dog is another, it's a wolf, so it ain't really a dog, a domestic dog, so. Yeah, so they just tell them to shoo, get out of here. But they don't turn around and go back to where they were. They continue to go forth as if they might have saw something. So I like I said, the AI is much smarter, and I like smart AI in video games. So that's cool. I like that a lot. But besides that, yeah, just Metal Gear.
All right, Alex?
Same as last week. I alluded to it earlier, BioShock. The original BioShock, going back and trying to get that platinum, playing on Impossible with no Vita Chambers, so it's not really as hard as you would think. The start of it's kind of hard, But after you start getting upgrades for weapons and you get more plasmids and you get more tonics, it becomes easier. And, you know, you can save at any point. It's one of those games where you can save at any point, so you can take off, like, half of a Big Daddy's life, save it right there, and you could load up that game and half the life of the Big Daddy's gone. So you can
That's gangster.
Even though you don't have Vita Chambers, which are the little checkpoints throughout the game, you still can save it at any point, so it's not that rough. But it's still a fantastic game. Again, I said it last week, I have an issue with the fact that you can't dual wield a plasmid with a weapon. You can only do that in Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Infinite, so the combat's a little more clunky in this game, but the setting of Rapture is still just a fascinating world, even so many years later. So.
Alright, and Yield.
Wait, are we still talking video games?
Yes, what have you been playing,
oh,
sir?
Oh, okay. Besides Simpsons Tapped Out, I've been playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes and fired up some more of the Hardware Rivals beta.
Is that live now?
Yeah, it's been live since Tuesday.
Oh, because when I downloaded it, it said I needed a beta key.
Well, to get in, you need a beta key. You can, like, do the... I think you can do like the training, but to actually do the game, you can do the beta key, which they're releasing a bunch, every day. And I've been able to get in every time. Well, besides the time that it's been like, I haven't been able to log in, but then you just try to log in again and it picks right up. It's not bad. It's fun. They need to work on the car controls a little bit because it's not perfect, but you mean, yeah, it's a beta, but it's really fun. I was doing tanks last night. And I was getting my butt shelled in tanks, but it was still fun.
All right. Well, let's get into our topics this week. Our first topic, you know, our customary topic when it comes towards the end of a month and starting of the new month. We get our list of PlayStation Plus games revealed. And this month for October, it has been revealed that Double Fine's Broken Age for the PlayStation 4 and Vita is going to be coming. Super Meat Boy is also coming for the PlayStation 4. Unmechanical Extended Edition is coming for the 4 and the 3. And Kung Fu Rabbit is coming out for the Vita and the PS3. Kick Beat's coming out for the Vita and PS3. And Chariot is coming out for the PS3.
You know, I got to say, it's a little spooky how much I don't care about any of those games.
Well, Super Meat Boy, I've never personally played it, but I've heard good things about it. Nate, our unofficial fifth whore, has said that he has played Broken Age and that game is horrible. I don't know. And to be honest, the only other game I've heard of is Kick Beat, but I've only heard of the game, didn't hear how good it was. Ro, do you know anything about any of these games?
Yeah, Kick Beat and Super Meat Boy. So I've played Super Meat Boy on another console, and I enjoyed it. I mean, if it kind of reminds me of the arcade games I used to play as a kid, and it's just brutal and punishing as far as trying to figure out how to actually traverse a lot of the levels once you get into the game without completely killing your Meat Boy. And even sometimes when you kill your Meat Boy, you're actually okay with it because of the way that he splatters on the screen. It's kind of refreshing. So there's that. So I'm actually looking forward to picking it up on the PlayStation side because I think it'll be a little bit easier to actually control on the PlayStation side than it was on the Xbox side. And Broken Age, I did play the first chapter of Broken Age. I actually played it on computer, on desktop. And, you know, as far as a point-and-click game goes, it's a beautiful game. It's really, really, really about the story and solving some puzzles. And most of the puzzles are not that challenging. Some of them are a little bit clever in how you find the various pieces to get through. But Broken Age is really all about the story, and it is a sentimental one, told from the female character side and then the male character side, Vela and Shay. So if you're into story and you're into point and click, it's not a bad way to go. And being that it's free, I think for anybody that enjoys puzzle games, it's a good one to pick up. But if you don't like the pace of point and click, you're not going to enjoy it.
Okay. Anybody else want to say anything about any of these games?
Could you repeat that? Because I didn't hear anything you had to say.
I'm sorry, Alex, you were saying?
No, I heard.
Super Meat Boy is one of those games where, you know, I've seen a friend play it, and you will literally die probably 50 to 100 times trying to get through some of the levels.
So it's like Limbo.
No, it's worse. Like, you will die far more.
Oh, but it's worse than Limbo, huh?
It is much faster paced, so as soon as you die, you're right back in the game. So it's not like you have to wait through a loading screen and a long cutscene to get back to the game. You're basically right back in the game after you die. So that kind of facilitates, like Joe Danger. That was another one of those games where if you die or you mess up, you basically come right back and you're right back in the mix of it, which helps a lot.
Okay. Speaking of getting back in the mix of it, co-founders of Criterion Games, the studio best known for creating the arcade franchise Burnout and one of our favorite games, Burnout Paradise, Alex Ward and Fiona Spiri, you may remember they departed Criterion back in 2014 to set up Three Fields Entertainment, but unfortunately, upon leaving, they had to leave the rights to the Burnout franchise behind them. Despite this, there's clearly always a demand for a new entry in the Burnout series, and now they are making the spiritual successor to Burnout in their new studio. Yield, I know you wanted to talk about this, and I know we were talking about it earlier today, or was it last night? I don't remember. But we have different opinions of this, but I know you wanted to talk about this indirectly. How do you feel about Three Fields Entertainment bringing the spiritual successor to Burnout back?
Well, I think it's good because everybody who's played Burnout Paradise, you know, racers and non-racers alike, really love Burnout Paradise. So a spiritual successor is always a risky thing because you mix elements of the old with new things, and it's always a risky business. But everybody's been wanting Burnout 2.0. I mean, that's all everybody really wants. Just give us Burnout Paradise again this generation. And you kind of got a sense with it with Need for Speed Most Wanted because Criterion made that. But it just – it had a lot of feeling because I'm playing through Most Wanted right now. It's got a lot of feeling of Burnout, but it's not Burnout, if that makes any sense. So I was really glad to read this on the internet, you know, via Twitter, through Game Informer, that, you know, here in the next couple of years, we're seeing a spiritual successor. I'll be keeping my eye on it.
All right. And the only difference that I say is that, yeah, yeah, it's a spiritual successor because it's got the two people that made Paradise. But the problem that I have with this, and I know we spoke many times on the show about this, is, you know, we keep talking about spiritual successors, and like the Mighty Number 9 is the spiritual successor to Mega Man. This game is going to be the spiritual successor to Burnout. You know, and we got Konami telling us there's going to be more Metal Gear games. And, you know, but I have a problem with spiritual successors because, one, as a content creator, I would be upset if somebody made the spiritual success to Trophy Horse if one day we stop this. You know, do your own idea. I mean, you moved, you left the company, do your own idea. Now, I know that's something you know and you could do well, but how long are we going to allow these quote-unquote ripoffs and still support them?
You do realize that most people think that BioShock is the spiritual successor to System Shock.
I've never even heard of System Shock.
Okay, it's supposed to be the spiritual successor to that. So without 2K Boston or Irrational Games making that game, you don't have BioShock. You don't have Infinite. So, I mean, like, there is some good in spiritual successors. I mean, you've got other developers who turn around, and I can't remember I think that Irrational Games made System Shock. So it was the same developer, I believe. But sometimes you have game developers like in the Sly Cooper series. Sly Cooper Thieves in Time was not made by Sucker Punch.
Right, but that was a Sly Cooper game. If they made a ruthless raccoon game, you know, and they said this is the spiritual successor to Sly, you don't feel slighted by that?
I feel like the original copyright holders would have an issue with it. Like, I mean, like Sony owns Sucker Punch, they own Sly Cooper, so if that ever came out, Sony would have to have their hands in it. They would have to okay it, because it'd be copyright infringement.
Yeah, but Capcom can't go after Mighty Number 9.
Well, I'm assuming Capcom still owns...
They own Mega Man.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if there's enough different, like, I don't know copyright laws, but I'm assuming, like, if what you're talking about, like, if there was another game about a raccoon thief that came out, and it was different enough, I guess they would allow it. But at the same time, like, if that game is crappy and it does come out, it doesn't taint what Sly Cooper is.
All right, so let me ask Donnie a question. Donnie, you know, let's take the Metal Gear franchise. If Hideo Kojima comes out and says, I'm going to make the spiritual successor to Metal Gear, but I can't call it Metal Gear, and it's going to be a whole different character. But if you turned around and said, I'm going to make the spiritual successor to Metal Gear, and it's going to be basically the same game, but it's just going to change the story, he's going to have to start a new story, he's going to have to rename the character, you wouldn't feel slighted by that, Donnie?
Too late. The game sucked. It was Rising.
That's not but that wasn't made by Hideo. But yeah, but you get my point.
Yeah, I get your point. I understand the whole spiritual successor thing. Like, what I don't get is by you calling the spiritual successor if the same people made it.
Like,
isn't Criteria making this new Need for Speed?
No, the two co-founders of Criterion left.
Okay, my bad.
And they formed their own company.
Misread.
Criterion is now owned by EA. That's why Criterion has been on the last few Need for Speed games.
And they're not trying to get away from EA?
Well, EA bought them.
But anyway, by being, in Metal Gear's case, you bring me, like Alice said, some succeed, some don't. It depends on how good of a story and how good of a game it is. By Hideo making it, I will chance it.
I would too, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I was going to say, if Konami come out with Metal Gear 6, it would be a highly skeptical game for me to play. And I'm a Metal Gear fan, a huge one. But Hideo has no part in it. And we've seen what happened when Hideo had no part in it. You get a Rising. And that junk sucked. And I'm quite sure if Konami have any part of it without Hideo, I got a great feeling it will suck. But if Hideo come out with Metal Tears or
Metal Tears
or Tears of Metal or Gears of Metal, I would give it a chance because Hideo's behind it.
All right, Ro, how do you feel about all this?
So spiritual successor, I think, means a little bit different to me, because to me, whenever I hear that, I hear, here's the marketing term so we don't get sued into oblivion for what we're about to make.
You can't look at it too like that.
Which is, I mean, you put it into words better than I did, but that's exactly what I meant too.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's when you have a lot of people who were instrumental in creating one thing who are no longer at that company leave. Yes, they know this thing inside and out, but maybe that's just where their passion is. And so that's what they want to continue to create and elevate. And so they do that and say, here's the spiritual successor. Here's where we wanted to go when we were at that other place, but we couldn't. So now we're going to. And you can like it, you can not like it, but this is kind of like our vision. So this is what we're doing. And so I don't feel like it's a negative on the previous game. I feel like it's almost paying homage because it's like our spiritual successor doesn't exist if this thing didn't come before it, right? And so it really only leaves a negative taste on me for that successor game if that game is bad. You know, a previous game that I've played, if I had a great experience with it, that great experience stays with me. If a follow-up is bad, I pick on that follow-up, not on its predecessor that was good.
You sound like a Dante Inferno lover.
Here's the thing. I didn't like Dante's Inferno. I finished it, and I thought that it could have been so much more.
Yeah.
So much more. Same. You know, here, it wasn't the worst piece of thing that I ever played, but it could have been so much more. There were levels there that had, like, real potential, and then other ones where I'm like, really? Get the fuck out of here with this.
Like the guy, the creatures coming out of the girl's boob.
Well, I didn't mind that because I all right. So I'm a, like a ridiculous nerd, and I did read Dante's Inferno. So like that made sense because that's a vision that you can imagine how those cursed babies ended up there. But like, just some of the dialogue just made absolutely no sense where they put it. And how short they made it. And so it got to a point where it was like, we just want a better way to show some titties. Can we throw more titties in? We can. Okay, great. Now, can we make this more fucked up? No, we can't. Okay, then just throw more titties at it. And that's where it lost me.
You can. They had something for the ladies too. When you got to the last battle, you had the devil's huge slong flap slapping you in the face.
Yeah, that was actually really not for the ladies though.
Oh.
It wasn't speaking on behalf of
I didn't want to say nothing, but since you said it, I it was all right.
Devil's dick really doesn't do it for us, typically.
I mean, just two things, and I know that I'm gonna get some help from Ro for this, but two spiritual successors that I can say one's good and one's mediocre. That I can call off the top of my head is Titanfall. After the guys in Infinity Ward left, they made Titanfall, which was supposed to be their Call of Duty killer, but I don't know where the hell their mind was. And then you got Bungie with Destiny, which was the spiritual successor to what they were doing with Halo.
Yep.
And you know, Titanfall, it had so much hype coming out, and then now it's dead. And now you got Destiny, and so many people shit on Destiny. But there's people that love Destiny, and, you know.
So here's where you're actually not going to get shit, because I completely agree with you. Titanfall was absolutely way hyped to be one thing and did not deliver. And Destiny was the one that everyone was so sure was not going to be great. Everyone was just going to be like, oh, it's more Halo, it's more Halo. And here we are in year two, and it's picking up a ridiculous amount of new people and still going strong.
So you think Destiny's going strong. You're one of the people that says Destiny's good.
I look at the numbers of how many units they're selling and how much money they're making and go, yep.
We gotta stop looking at numbers.
Hey, numbers make additional games happen. If games don't sell, sequels don't happen.
Sequels do happen with bad numbers, too. It's just that if they choose to carry on.
Look at Naughty Bear 2.
Yes, bad as heck, and they made a sequel. And it's been
that was just a mistake all the way around. I don't know who was smoking what crack. I'm not exactly sure.
On my show, we call that just a bad decision.
Well, listen, Naughty Bear was a good idea.
Good idea.
Just, it was bad in practice.
Yep.
Agreed.
So you confirmed that we got stupid gamers out there.
Oh, yep. Here we go. All right. I know this is a PlayStation show, but we're going to talk about an Xbox One exclusive, timed exclusive for a minute. Rise of the Tomb Raider, a season pass has surfaced on Amazon for $30 ahead of the official announcement. Though the listing doesn't offer any particular details on the content, it does shed some light that there may actually be some single player story content, contained, by judging the Warden. The wording is, quote, the season pass for Rise of the Tomb Raider includes a range of content that will extend your single-player campaign and also allow you to compete with friends, end quote. Now, that all but confirms it to me, but yeah, there's a way out by saying, okay, they're not adding content, they just may be adding skins or something.
Of course, it's always going to get one piece of probably, maybe, potential of a good content, but then the rest, 90% of it? No, 95. It's clothes, hats, rings.
What's also interesting is that there's a rumor going around that the multiplayer is largely being cut from Rise of the Tomb Raider so the team can focus on the single player aspect of the game.
Well, that's good. That's good because the first, as Donnie can attest, and when I told him when he went for the platinum as well as I did, that the multiplayer for the first Tomb Raider, although they had good ideas and good concepts, it was broke to beat all.
One of the very few people, game companies or game developers, that actually listened to something that we had to say.
Yeah, I can't remember when it was, but I think the developer already said that they were really focused on single player, and so there were going to be some multiplayer aspects, but they may come later. And I think, frankly, that that's the best way to do it, because for me, the Tomb Raider experience needs to be, especially with this reboot, all about Lara and the single player. I really don't need multiplayer in Tomb Raider.
You are, you coming back. You coming back. In my eyes, you coming back.
All right. Oh, shucks. I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, Donnie, I might need you to squint your eyes a little bit until the dawn, because Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide Studios boss Shuhei Yoshida is calling Until Dawn a sleeper hit.
A sleeper hit. Let's read on.
Once it's recognized, originating with consumers, the marketing department will continue to support the title through Christmas with some creative ideas. He's very happy how the game was received. People have asked me why the game isn't marketed as much as other titles. His answer was, it's a decision made by marketing departments in each region. Because of the focus on the Christmas time frame to really support third-party titles like Destiny and these titles, they didn't see the need to push Until Dawn that much from a platform marketing standpoint. Now, as we've talked many times on the show, Sony is not very good at promoting and advertising their games. Mm-mm. To me, this sounds like a cop-out.
Mm-hmm. Big one.
Okay, well, Ro, you're the guest, so I tend to let our guests try to speak as much as they want. How do you feel about, one, Sony not promoting their games as a whole, and two, how do you feel about this answer from Shuhei?
So, I agree. Sony does a horrible job of marketing its games. It tends to focus on flagship games that frankly don't need the extra oomph, but they put it there anyway and don't put it on games that really need it, in my opinion. You know, a God of War game is going to sell itself. It's an established franchise. It doesn't need multi-millions of dollars in marketing across the globe to sell those units. It'll do just fine. Until Dawn came out of nowhere. They made a big splash about it at E3 a year ago, and then we heard nothing about the game until it actually popped out and was for sale. And it's I think a disservice to great games when you don't spend the marketing dollars behind them to push it. Because I think as other people have played the game, you've seen the reviews in other places, Until Dawn is a solid, solid game. Just all the way around. And I, like I said earlier, I hate jump scares. I don't like horror movies. And I went really back and forth on whether or not I was going to play the game until my sister came over and was playing it on my TV. And I was like, I kind of have to finish this when you leave. I need to know where this story is going to go. So I forced myself to get through it in the daylight. But I did. And I really felt robbed of knowing more about the game before it came out. So I think that, and I don't know why this is, but it's not the first time that Sony has put the marketing beast behind the wrong horse.
I will agree with that.
And I don't know why they do it. I think that saying that it's between different marketing regions is bullshit. I work in marketing, and all those decisions are made up at the top and pushed down as far as where the dollars are going to go, not independently by region. So it's the most bullshit cop-out that I've heard any rep at Sony ever give. I think it just makes them look really, really ignorant about their own properties.
All right, well, you said you're in marketing. And I'm just asking this as a, you know, just not as a gamer, not as a podcast host or anything. Is it possible that marketing is done differently and that this could actually be true by Shuhei, that this is the way Sony's doing their marketing, or is it just bad practice in the marketing world?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I think that Sony is one of those companies that the way that they approach marketing is very, very different than most of the Western companies would approach marketing, for sure. And I think that that does play a piece of it, but it's just a bad marketing practice. You know, you know where you need to put your dollars. As far as the things that need extra pushes, you know what markets will be more receptive to certain types of things depending upon what your company is and what you put out. And so you know where you need to put that extra push if you want something to break through. So to me, my gut tells me that this was a game that the higher-ups felt was not going to be very successful, that was going to have a niche market, so let the niche market embrace it and run with it, and it's out there, it's cool, and we can say that we did this unique third-party thing, and we can then focus our dollars on the big things that we know that are going to make a big splash that will get a lot of pub in the bigger outlets instead. And what happened was the reverse, is that people started picking up this game when they found it, and you started seeing a lot of ink on this game. And they went, oh, all right, so it did pretty cool. Great. Let's move on. And maybe we'll do something this Christmas, you know, for the people that enjoyed it. And for me, that's just really, really a bad approach. If you have something that is unique and different, you put dollars behind that to get that out in front of people so that you can say, look at this innovative thing that we have that nobody else has.
Well.
Because Until Dawn doesn't exist anyplace else except from PlayStation. So it's a huge, huge misstep.
Well, I see my personal belief, okay, and I've never voiced this before, is that I still believe that Sony is looking to buy Quantic Dream. And I think that because this game has so much similarity to Beyond and Heavy Rain, that they probably didn't want to push this game as much because of the fact that they don't want to show favoritism towards this company over Quantic Dream, who they're trying to acquire. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, and it's totally unfounded, maybe, but that's just the way I feel about this.
So I think that while that might have been a good thesis or theory, at one point, if they were going to buy Quantic Dream, it would have happened already. It's not happening. Like, that's Heavy Rain was how many years ago? Beyond itself was like 2 years ago. I mean, I just don't think that that's ever going to happen, really. I think that it's just, in all honesty, just poor. I feel like a lot of companies, even Microsoft, they focus on the big games. They get behind the big games, like the Halos. Like, you'll see it on Mountain Dew and Doritos. Like, you'll see it everywhere.
It's the only big game they get, so they have no choice.
But there's a lot of games that you don't see them go after like that. So I think that's every game company, is that they'll go after their heavy hitters because that's the one that'll speak to a larger audience.
Heavy hitter.
And I feel like a game like Until Dawn is not one of those games, and I feel like regardless of what system it was on, I don't think it would have gotten a push from anyone until it was proven to be successful.
I might can see Until Dawn taking Drive Club place.
Thanks for the segue there, Donnie. Drive Club, PlayStation Plus Edition, by the time you listen to the show, will have been removed from the PlayStation Store. As you remember, Drive Club was originally supposed to be a PlayStation 4 launch plus title. It got delayed, and then it got delayed, that got delayed. But as of October 6th, that date has already passed by the time you're listening to this, it will have been removed from the store. Now, this is not Drive Club being removed from the store. This is just Drive Club PlayStation Plus.
Now, let me ask you something. Should this be something I should actually download before it disappears, or put it in my download list?
No. No, yes. I told you. No.
No, hold on. Wait. Yes, you should download it.
Okay.
Whether or not to play it or not, that's another story. But download it just for the simple fact that if any time ever in the future you want to go back and try this out,
you have it. I can try it out for free. Okay.
Dude, you don't want to try it out. They got female drivers, man. That's why I couldn't control it.
Oh, jeez. Actually, here. Here's a bit of news. You want to know something everybody should download this week?
What's that?
The Battlefront beta.
Well, I think you had to pre-order the game for that, right?
No, you don't. October 8th, the Battlefront beta will be on the PlayStation Store for everybody to download. 7 gig download.
Okay.
7 gig download. It runs from the 8th of October to the 12th of October. It differs on time zones, but that's something everybody should download.
I really like how you drove us out of that club because we didn't care about it.
That's right. You don't. Star Wars, baby.
That is going to bring us to the end of our news, but we do have a topic of the week. I only asked Donnie to let me read the article in its entirety before Donnie makes his statements, because I know the exact point Donnie's going to make his statement. Recent reports, as we've talked about before many times on the show, with Hideo Kojima leaving Konami, there was always the question of what would happen to Metal Gear. And then we heard reports that Konami is actually scaling back its efforts in the console market and more focused on the mobile market. And then we heard a story that Konami has halted all AAA production consoles except for Pro Evolution Soccer. A recent report has come out saying that Metal Gear can continue. In an article on Game On Daily that came originally from Video Gamer, In an interview, Konami community manager Graham Day was asked whether or not Metal Gear franchise could continue without Kojima, or with Kojima, to which he replied, yeah, of course you can. Metal Gear is about the story. It's all about the characters. I think, yeah. Now, it says with Kojima, but I think it was actually supposed to say without Kojima. Day then cited to the studio's collaboration with Platinum Games was a successful use of the brand. Quote, look at things like Metal Gear Rising. That was an example of the title being taken in... That was an example of the title being taken in a new direction and by separate teams with obvious hands-in from other parties, and in itself was a very, very good game, as well as that obviously led by a completely different team. With regard to Konami's commitment to making more AAA console games in the future, they confirmed that Konami's stance has never wavered. Quote, don't believe everything you read in the press. That's never changed. Things have been taken out of context, but that has never changed. Now, Donnie, I don't want to speak about whether Ryzen was a good game or not, because I knew that's where you were going
to
go.
But they spoke on it, so I have to say something.
Well, no. My question to the panel here, do we think Metal Gear can continue without Kojima at the forefront?
Well, unless Ro is a gamer of Metal Gear, I don't think anyone qualifies for this statement except me and you.
Well, the reason I ask this is, one, obviously the series can continue. Now, with that being said, Kojima was not a part of every Metal Gear game. He wasn't on the NES versions of the game.
What? Yes, he was.
No, he was not.
Oh, what the? Where do you hear this from?
It's a fact. Jack. Go back and look.
He wasn't a part of the original part two. He was a part of part two.
I will look it up, but I don't believe he was part of either of the NES games. But with that being said, there have been Metal Gear games outside of Ryzen that has been made without Kojima. Now, Yield, I said I'll go with you first. Do you think that the Metal Gear that we know and love can continue without Kojima at the helm?
The Metal Gear you know and love, they'll try to continue it. Will it continue with the same kind of fanfare? Probably not, because it won't be made the way everyone wants it to. It'll fall short because everybody wants what Kojima does, and if nobody hits that mark, it'll be considered a fail. Now, can the Metal Gear franchise continue without Hideo? Yes, they've already proven it with Metal Gear Rising, like it or not. People buy it because of Metal Gear, and it doesn't have to be connected to Snake.
They proved that it couldn't. That's what they did. All of them was connected to Snake, but I gotta say, where two, you could say that about two, but Snake was in it. And the games you're talking about, Tricky, is the freaking Metal Gear card-based type bullcrap. And Ryzen, I'm mad as hate that he gave an okay about that, which, that jump freaking sucked. And no, I know you didn't call on me, but I feel like it's my duty to go now. No, it can't continue without Kojima. Yes, you can come out with a game and call it Metal Gear, because that's what they did with Ryzen, Metal Gear, but it would not be Metal Gear. It won't. Nobody can tell the story of Snake or Big Boss the way Kojima can. Also, even though I said it before, Kojima just need to leave it alone. He didn't even have to come out with 5. I feel 5 was just something that he wanted to do, just to say like, hey, this is about to be my last one, because he knew that what was going down with Konami was going down. I just feel like he probably just came out with it anyway. But the story to me was completed with 4. So he didn't even need 5, but he came out with 5. To me, it's a big hit. One of my favorite Metal Gear games, which, I was somewhat skeptical. Not because of the free roam thing, because I said it before, technically all Metal Gear games are free roam to a certain extent. All they're going to do is come out with a game, like I said earlier, this is going to come out with a brand new game and slap Metal Gear's title on there. That's going to be some bull crap. It can't be done.
All right. Now, I looked up Hideo Kojima. As far as the 1987 Metal Gear and the 1990 Metal Gear Solid 2 Solid Snake, he's listed as the director, but he's not listed under the NES versions. He was under the MSX2 versions of the game. Now, for the versions that were remastered on the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, and the Vita, yes, he is credited as the director of those games.
But we don't care about remastered. We will know the original.
Well, the original NES games, he was not a part of. The versions for the MSX2, he was a part of.
I could have sworn I watched and I read a documentary on where they asked him to come out with something new, and he was being technically forced by this job to lose it, and he came out by accident with Metal Gear.
Well, see, that's where it adds the confusion, because in the remastered versions for the PS2 and the PS3, he's listed as the director of the game.
No, that's that freaking Metal Gear conspiracy going down. That's what it is.
But the original NES versions, he was not a part of. Ro, do you want to chime in on this at all?
Sure.
Hold on, before you say something, do you play Metal Gear?
Yes, I have played Metal Gear. I have not played Phantom Pain.
Have you played 1, 2, 3, 4?
I played 1, 2, and 4.
How the heck are you going to skip 3?
You didn't play Snake Eater?
I did not play Snake Eater.
You know what, this disqualifies you from the rest of the topic.
3 is arguably one of the best of the series.
Not just that, it ties in a lot of what went down. Matter of fact, a great deal of what really went down. What really is what actually went down in the Metal Gear. What sparked the Metal Gear.
Well,
and you skipped it.
Yeah, okay.
It is what sparked Metal Gear. It is what sparked the Patriots. So don't even say it. It is.
All right, Ro, your piece, dear.
So I'm going to agree with all of you guys. They're going to call it Metal Gear. It's not. The Metal Gear that we know and love is not Metal Gear if Kojima and his team are not part of it. It's his storytelling. It's his vision that we love. And if he's not a part of it, then it's not the Metal Gear that we know and love. They will create new games. They will call it and put it under the banner because they have the rights, but it will not be the same. That's not to say that somebody might not create something that is just as interesting, but I highly doubt it, because what I respect is what Kojima and his team have put together. And so, no, it will not be Metal Gear that we know and love.
See, what I'm upset about is I'm hearing stories that, and this is a tiny spoiler for Metal Gear, but it's not really a spoiler.
I've heard that before, and it was a major spoiler.
You deserve it if you didn't play 3.
No. This is a minor spoiler, but it's not a big spoiler. Metal Gear: The Phantom Pain is broken down into 2 chapters. The rumor is that there was actually supposed to be a 3rd chapter that we're not going to get now because Hideo has left Konami. And that angers me to the point of where they really could have gone with this. Because, look, I know I'm a Metal Gear fanboy. And I know that I've been playing this game extensively. And I know I've called this game Game of the Decade.
Well, yeah, 400 hours later.
But this game is so well done. I mean, to the point, like, the story is fantastic. The gameplay is fantastic. Like, this is the Metal Gear game that I have been always wanting to play.
All right, now you sound like a fool. All Metal Gear games is the games that you wanted to play.
No. When you get as much time as in the game as I do, you really, really, like, when you're 400 hours into a game, you know pretty much the ins and the outs of it. You can say, okay, yeah, they fucked up on this, or they did this superbly well. There's only one aspect of this game that I think they really fucked up on. And I can't talk about it because it's a major spoiler. But with that being said, to know that we cannot get, you know, quote unquote DLC to get that 3rd chapter really upsets me.
We can. He come out with the spiritual succession and call it Metal Tears. Here we go. And we got it.
So, I don't really agree with you all. I think that while Kojima and his team had a very important impact, well, they had a tremendously important impact upon Metal Gear, and they were definitely the driving force behind it. I look at it like, I look at Nintendo. Does anyone think that oh my god, I forgot his name.
Hideo Kojima?
No, the Nintendo guy. The guy who created Zelda.
Miyamoto.
Does anyone think that Miyamoto is the only person who can make a good Zelda game?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
See, Nintendo would be stupid if they put every single thing into Miyamoto and did not have his team working with him and have a team of people that could make a good Zelda game, because with Miyamoto would go Zelda. That would be basically a big hit to Nintendo, one of their biggest hits. And if Kojima was really as important to Metal Gear as you all say, Konami would not have gotten rid of him.
Okay, this is where I'm going to differ with you. You look at a Zelda game, the story is not that intense. You look at a Mario game, there basically is no story. Go get 8 castles, save the princess. That's the story every Mario game. Metal Gear has engrossed over 25 years, if not longer, in the story. Every single thing has been wrapped up in a nice little bow.
Well, have all the Metal Gear stories been well received?
Yeah.
Outside of Rising, yes.
Sons of Liberty? I'm pretty sure that everyone complained about that story.
They complained about it at the time, but once 4 came out and it wrapped it up all in a bow, the 2 made so much more sense. No, and that's the brilliance of Hideo, is because they wrap it up so nicely. Because so many things that I know, Donnie, you're burst at the seams. There's so many things in Metal Gear that as you play it, it doesn't exactly make total sense. But as you get more and more and more into it, it's like, oh, shit, that totally makes sense now.
But as far as you brung up the whole 2, people aren't complaining about the story. They're complaining about Raiden. Don't nobody want to play with Raiden, even though I like Raiden. I like Raiden up until Metal Gear 4. I like Raiden up until Rising. Metal Gear Rising. I'll take that back. But even though 2 wasn't Snake, actually, at least for maybe the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the game, but there was more complaining about the character writing over the story. So all stories of Metal Gear got received well. And as far as your Nintendo statement, every single Nintendo game that comes out is the exact repeat of Nintendo's last game that came out. All Zelda's the same thing. All Mario's is the exact same thing. Only thing that changes is if they come out with a spinoff and call it Mario Kart or Mario Party or Mario whatever. It's the exact same thing.
Mario Maker.
Mario Maker. And then that's some bull crap too. And then you say Nintendo wouldn't stupidly put all their apples of money into Zelda, where they stupidly put all their money in Nintendo, and now look at Nintendo, a DS.
Yeah, the only thing that anybody ever complained about Sons of Liberty was the fact that you weren't playing as Snake.
That's it.
But the story itself was not a point of complaint. Because as you played through to Sons of Liberty, it kind of made sense in the story. But then when you got to 4 and it kind of wrapped it up in a bow, and you got like why you were playing as Raiden in the second game and why Snake had to take the backseat in that game. And even when you were playing Snake Eater, when it was revealed, I mean, it was pretty much obvious because of the year that the game was being placed that you weren't solid, but even as that game went through, it made sense. And then
they said in the beginning that you're not solid. In the very beginning of the cutscene,
it did. But what I'm saying is, like, it wasn't widely said that it wasn't solid. It was pretty obvious it wasn't solid.
Well, you knew it was a prequel before you bought the game.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like,
and you knew it took place. Well, I knew I wasn't playing as Snake when I came with Sally before I even bought the game. I knew I was playing with his dad clone, I guess you would say, call it.
Right. Or, well, I mean, what I'm saying is you didn't know that was Big Boss.
Because we didn't know how Big Boss became Big Boss. But you do know it's Big Boss, but we didn't know how he became the Big Boss.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I think we pretty much put our topics, our opinions on this topic. Let's go ahead and close out the show. Let's do some housekeeping.
Yes, because the Patriots is watching. Yes.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for some staff members. We are looking for some writers, podcasts, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help with the site. If you're interested in applying, please go to ProvenGamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application. And I, myself, or Billy will get back to you as soon as possible. If you're, while you're cruising
Billy. Oh, my bad. I just thought I had to do that right now.
While you cruise the site, be sure to check out all of our articles and all of our videos. Speaking of our videos can be found on YouTube by doing a search for Official Proven Gamer and checking out all the videos there. If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it, but be sure to listen to our other podcast, PG Spoilers, which now that I have officially beaten the Phantom Pain, I will be scheduling the, to Donnie's dismay, the PG spoilers, because Donnie's not going to be able to make the show because he's not going to be able to beat it in time.
Has anybody else beat it yet?
Yes, many people have beaten it. I was actually sure the last person. I was the last person to beat it because I spent so much time doing everything else.
That's not what she said. Oh!
Speaking of our Facebook page, we know you're on Facebook. If you could stop by, do a search for Proven Gamer, and please hit that like button and get involved in the conversations that are going on over there. Our podcast can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and your various podcast applications on your smart devices. But if you are listening to an iTunes or Stitcher, please stop by, leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and let us know how good of a job we're doing, or how much of an idiot Donnie is, or how good of a guest Ro was this week. Because, Ro, you were a good guest. Hey,
she received me very good. Well, wait a minute.
That sounded so not right.
Yes. Take that back.
If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways to get a hold of us. You can send us an email, trophyhorse@provinggamer.com. You can give us a call. Yield, what's that phone number?
330-PROVEN9, 330-776-8369.
Also, you can get a hold of us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at Show Viewers. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Donnie at Young Twist. You can contact Yield at I Yield to No One. You can contact Alex if he ever gets back on Twitter at Saundersaurus Rex. And, Ro, how can they find you on Twitter?
I am at Ninja Sista on the Twitter.
Okay. Could you spell that for anybody that may not be literate?
Sure, that's NINJASISTAH.
I knew you was black by the way you spelled sister.
All right, and it's been a while since we've done it, and Ro being our guest, we might as well do it while she's here, too. Our PSN IDs. I am Tricky Mick, that's TRICKYMIC. Yield?
I yield to no one. IYIELD, the number 2. NO, the number 1. Please do not send me a blank friend request. You will sit there and request
limbo.
Limbo.
Purgatory.
Purgatory, whatever you want to call it.
With all the unbaptized babies.
Alex, your PSN ID.
Raise Havoc, RAISEHAVOK.
Donnie.
That DTNTHATDTN.
Ro.
I am Ninja Sista. Spelled the same way, NINJASISTAH.
All right. That is going to close out our housekeeping, but we do have some sponsors. Our first sponsor is Extra Life, our favorite sponsor, which is literally only a month away at this point. Alex, tell us about Extra Life.
So Extra Life is happening on November 7th this year. It's an annual gaming charity event in which you collect sponsors. Well, first, you have to sign up. Either you can join a team, play solo, or make your own team, start your own team. You basically pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital, one preferably in your area or close to your town or in your town, to represent, and then you collect donations for your 24-hour game marathon. It can be $1 an hour, it can be $10 the entire day, whatever really people are comfortable donating. And all the donations that you collect then go to the Children's Miracle Network hospital that you represent. So November 7th is the date, and there's still time to sign up. So if you want to sign up and do something really awesome and play video games at the same time, then, well, Extra Life is what you're looking for.
No, go fund yourself, doggone it. Go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer. Trying to raise some money for better podcasts and equipment. And like I said last week, trophy-themed donation possibility prize packs where Donnie will sing you a Halloween-type song.
Donnie, who are we sponsored by?
Soundbite!
Yeah, I'm a little depressed that you can't do it because I think Ro would actually get a kick out of you.
I know. I wish I could, but
do
can
it.
You try?
Do it.
Try.
Nah, I'm not about to embarrass myself in front of my sister.
Do it.
Try, Donnie. I do not get a chuckle out of her. Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you could, would each and every time you do shopping on Amazon, stop by Proven Gamer first, click on any Amazon link, and continue with your normal shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With all that being said, let's close out the show with some shout-outs. Alex, we'll start with you. Your shout-out, sir.
Give a shout-out to our guest, Ro, for coming on, and... Well, keeping Donnie in check, really not trying. Donnie's usually – I think Donnie kind of behaved himself this show.
Yeah, I think he did.
Even though he kind of started off a little rocky. I want to thank the listeners for being awesome and putting up with us every week and just, you know, letting us invade your ears and your homes. We appreciate you guys for continuing to be the fuel for our fire. And I want to give a shout-out to, well, Philip Rivers, who – beat me this week in fantasy football and helped me win in fantasy football. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. But, yeah, Philip Rivers, late-minute pickup for my team because Andrew Luck wasn't playing. But and last but not least, I want to give a shout-out to my girlfriend, the love of my life, Christina. You know, as always, thank you, sweetheart, for giving me this time and allowing me to supporting my, you know, my video game playing as well as the show that we do here because, really, we have fun doing this. And even though, you know, we don't get a whole lot out of it as far as, you know, what we get out of it's really just kind of, you know, the enjoyment of being around each other every single week.
Brotherhood, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly, brotherhood. You can't really get that many places, especially not one like this. So I definitely appreciate, Christina, you letting me, as well as all the ladies of the show, for helping us and letting us, supporting us. Yes.
I yield to no one. Your shout-out, sir.
Give a shout out to you guys for recording every week, the fans for listening. A shout out to the Hardware Rivals beta. It's really cool. I hope they make some improvements. I hope they're single player, like local co-op where you can, you know, four controllers all, you know, sitting on a couch. That would be just way awesome. Shout out to the Bengals who are now 4-0. Hi everybody. Shout out to my wife who had a birthday yesterday.
All right, Donnie, your shout out, sir.
Before I get on with my shout outs, I want to say that Patriots is a Metal Gear 4 reference. So I'm not talking about football. And I'm not talking about America.
You're not talking about the Flategate.
I want to give a shout out to the listeners. You guys are awesome. Awesome. That's always me. I love doing this. Like I said before, this is like a non dream come true. Because I never dreamt about doing talk showing. But it come true anyway.
You're still not doing talk showing, Donnie.
Oh, well, yeah, kind of. Kind of not. But also, I want to give a shout-out to my crew, Trophy Whores, and our – well, damn, I can't say that because then I probably would get smacked. I'm about to say our actual whore. No.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, no. You will get smacked.
Yes. I'm just jabbing with you. No, our guest, Ro, Ninja Sister, you know, that was great. I always enjoy guests who come on the show. Also, I want to give a shout out to my fam, the love of my life, Alex's girlfriend, Christina. And I-
Watch yourself.
Alex is going to shit you.
If Alex wasn't on mute right now, he'd be yelling at you.
You're lucky that I'm afraid to come to Detroit, ain't it?
I just had to hear what you were about to say.
Donnie, are you wearing a bow tie?
Yeah.
Is it made out of aluminum foil?
No, it's made out of duct tape. My little girl, she's making flower pins and bows and all this other stuff out of duct tape. I'm just helping promoting with the Marvel. Let me get up close. Can you see the Marvel characters? My beard in a way?
Yeah, our listeners really can see that right now, Donnie.
Well, you guys. And the listeners, they can use their imagination. And I also got the Marvel hat, which I've been had.
Okay, Ro, your shout outs, dear.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate the invite.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been an absolute blast. I also got to shout out my crew because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So to King Baby Duck, Pandalicious, Hamster Man, Issues Guy, Deuces Wild, you guys, I heart everything that you do. I love your passion. So keep bringing it and we'll do this for another 10 years or until I get tired. I also want to give a shout out to, everyone at the Structure Network. Again, love the passion, love the hustle, love talking games and all kinds of nerdy, geeky stuff with everybody and everybody that's listened to our podcasts over the years. I heart you bitches. So thank you.
And, I want to give a shout out, first and foremost to the listeners, shout out to Ro for coming on and keeping Donnie in check. Cause, as Alex has stated, Donnie's actually been on his best behavior that we've had a woman on the show. So.
Ooh, it's a lady.
Only reason that because I have been acting up with other females on the show, but throughout history.
Because you're a sister and you're a ninja, he's scared of you.
Well, I was going to say that because you're a black chick, you tend to act out more than the...
What?
I mean, you She's should be black? Scared. You're rightfully to be scared.
Yeah. You tend to act out just a little bit more than the white chicks would.
And I want to give a shout out to my baby who is sitting on my lap, sticking her tongue out at Donnie and making funny faces at Donnie. Sweet Mama D. And I also want to give a shout out to the goddess who is sitting on the couch waiting for me to get done with this with an evil look on her face because I'm taking way too long for the show this week.
Well, she better have some enthusiasm and sit on that couch.
It's only been an hour and a half. That ain't nothing.
If there's nothing else. Oh, wait, before I do that, As Yield knows this already, Rock Band 4 is coming out on Tuesday. They have announced that all the legacy DLC will hit the store, but as of right now, it has not hit the store. So look for it before Rock Band 4 comes out to make sure all your songs are downloaded before the game actually comes out. And I'm kind of stalling a little bit because the goddess is writing me a note right now. And thank you, goddess. As far as next week's show, I'm going to have to get with my Four Horsemen brothers, because I may or may not be here next week because I'm going to New York Comic Con. If the schedule could work out where the four of us could all be here, that would be awesome, but I don't know that that would be possible. So I may or may not be here next week. So if I'm not here, you're going to get the delightful hosting abilities of Mr. Saundersaurus Rex. With all that being said, until next week, happy trophy hunting.
Peace out.
Later.
Who day?
You done made it to another one.
Replay.
Oh, download another one.
Continue your hordeo.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it. Just to get the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.